Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. Post-Christmas recording, although this is going up a little bit later, I've got my friendly little gecko looking at me, trying to go into the back of the cables. He needs to pick up his act, cleaning up the mosquitoes in this room. I'm dazed and confused, but Borahan's got a preview, Benji. Big changes of the team, kit changes, big roster changes.
Yeah.
But first, we have to review their 2023 season. You've got the notes here. How would you assess, or how should we assess their season?
Well, it's a team that should be doing relatively well on World Tour level with the riders they have in store before 2023. So, 7 World Tour wins, 23 total wins. That's the numbers after 2023. But if we take a look at the Grand Tours, they were actually present in Grand Tours, as in Kemna top 10 the Giro. But in addition to that, Nico Denz was a godlike baroudeur in 2023. Like, won 2 stages.
And became
in the
my
Giro,
enemy.
Became your enemy. So I can't give him too much credit, or I'm in trouble. Tour de France incoming. Jai Hindley finishing 7th in GC, but he crashed there. So without that crash, I think he could have fought for a top 5 maybe, because he was looking really good in week 1.
And stage win and the day in yellow is nice.
Yeah, and it was a big stage as well. It was the breakaway stage on Mont Blanc, where then we had Vingegaard dropping Pogacar in the back, and it was a magnificent stage, that one. In addition to that, Jordi Meus was also won on Champs-Élysées. I feel like that's kind of a fluke. Not really. He still did it. He's still good enough to do it, but it's not like he's going to repeat that every year to me. You know, it's not like he's the next upcoming Philipsen for me. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's see. I mean, just looking through the rest of Jordi Meus' results, like, he's not, maybe I'm underrating him a little bit. Like, he's 7th in Milano-Torino, and, you know, Swiss wasn't exactly, he actually wasn't bad in pure sprints. He actually just didn't get sent to a lot of pure sprints. It's kind of curious, in fact. Like, Tour de Suisse is not the best race for sprinters. Norway isn't like Tour of Norway, you're getting beaten by Mike Tournesen in pure bunch sprints. So, like, maybe it's because it was a little uphill. Yeah, it's not replicable. Maybe also he is better than just like, freak, he's like a scrub who just got lucky. Like, he had to have been doing good power. He had to. By definition.
He's not a scrub. He did benefit from being on the right side of the road on the Champs-Élysées, which that's research and being able to pull it off due to positioning. So still credits to him for pulling that off. I just don't think that on the flat he's competing with the top sprinters yet, maybe. Maybe in the future he will. Now we see Patrick trying to attack mosquitoes because his gecko is not doing it right. But anyway, on to La Vuelta. Vlasov and Kion were 7th and 8th in GC. There was a bit of a rupture opening up in the team at that point. And Lennart Kemna won 1 stage. It was a stage where GC was neutralized and he was fighting against Sobrero, if I recall correctly, where it was like the yo-yo effect on Alas Hill. But overall, that's 5 stage wins in Grand Tours, which I think that's good. And that's top 10 in every single Grand Tour. I will say, however, that there's one issue, Patrick, with this. I would have expected them to top 5, but maybe I'm being too harsh because of the crash of Hindley then.
I think in terms of GC, this team is, in the perception of people's minds, worse than people think it is.
Okay.
In terms of like consistent GC competitiveness throughout the season, throughout the 3 Grand Tours. And that's not just me saying it. If you listen to Ralph Denk's interview, or is it Adar, one of their interviews on the Cycling Podcast recently, very good interview actually, and he said it wasn't good enough.
Yeah, Rolf Auerbach, if I recall correctly.
They do it every year, but they do it every year. Yeah, he was Auerbach. He said the season wasn't good enough.
But he said emotions, eh? They fight on emotions.
That is, yeah. That is funny that people think that. Yeah, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing, but or people just say it like, yeah, we make decisions on emotions, but it's like, I reckon you don't. I reckon you look at the power data and think logically who's going to be your best chance to win today. But yeah, he said their season wasn't as good as they hoped it would be. And I think he meant in the stage races in GC in particular with that, because the wins were good. We, as you said, wins in all three Grand Tours. This team knows how to win, particularly a breakaway stage. They know how to win, even when they're not necessarily the best in that breakaway. And I think the highlight of the season for me is that Jai Hindley stage, just because that was, such an entertaining stage. And, you know, UAE are panicking. He's got in there showing just good racing now. So I really like that stage. So, but classics literally nowhere. Like they're Arkea in the classics, right?
Yeah, it's only the Bemertide classics and the Eschborn Frankfurt and so forth that they can podium. San Sebastian a podium as well, and then Lombardia fourth with Vlasov, that's okay. But I feel like my overall feeling is that I would expect them to podium a one-day race a bit more than they are currently doing, because those races that they podium are also not the ones that are the top level of Welter Classics. Obviously, in the Cobble Classics, I don't expect it, but I'd expect Vlasov to do better in the Hill Classics, maybe, in like an LBL, for example. Then look at the one-week races.
Him and Nagita. Yeah. Remember him and Nagita in LBL, what, 22?
Yes, correct. Yeah. 1 week races is the same thing with Grand Tours. It's just that they top 10 a lot of them, like Dauphiné with Hindley, Tirreno with Kemna, Basque Country with Higita, then Tour de Romandie and Swiss with Kion. And then I'm feeling like, okay, I expect kind of a bit more than that. I expect fighting for top five where they're now top 10 and fighting for the podium where they're now top five. So kind of in 2024, it's just, yeah, I won't go into it too in-depth yet, but I feel like they should just aim up one step higher than they reach everywhere, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's the plan with Roglic, right? It's they're kind of there. Well, they are a mid-table team, like in terms of points on everything. They really aren't, but it is surprising when you see that Alpecin de Koenig, Lotto Destiny, Groupama, Bahrain by a big margin are way ahead of Bora Hansgrohe in terms of points, which is more indicative of general competitiveness throughout the season. And they were 10th. So firmly a mid-table team in 2023. Yeah. Just with a couple more, obviously more premier wins than say a Groupama and EF. But maybe they were just missing that finisher. In terms of Roglic, but they do have a lot of money as well tied up in guys that maybe didn't perform, like Buchmann, like Bennett this season. He's obviously gone now. Like Jungels, like Sharkman. So, like Vlasov, really.
Yeah, because like a rider like Bullet is also, he podiumed Roubaix back in the day. Like, this is a rider that's not super cheap anymore as a consequence, I would reckon. So it's not like he's on 200K.
German.
So they expect him to perform well, and yes, he's a good rouleur, but there are cheaper versions that kind of do the rouleur work that Paulet can do, but you'd expect more than just that from Paulet, is how I would say it. But let's go to those outgoing transfers for a second. Bennett is going, like you said, to Decathlon Algezer. Condal is going to a little trek. Paulet to UAE Team Emirates. First of all, those three, I think those are three riders that were on notable salaries. Conrad, because of his past,
good money.
Top 10 in Giro and so forth. Those three riders are on decent money. So it's logical to me that they let them go. Even though I think they'll miss Paulet, I don't think they can financially compete with UAE Team Emirates on that. So that's one where you just have to...
Yeah, they said it just wasn't worth it.
Hands up, fuck it, let him go. The other ones, Edis Helling going to Astana, Fabro going to Polti Kometa, Matthew Walls going to Groupama, Korecki somewhere, he's just out. He was that mountain biker, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, mountain biker.
Archbold retiring. Before we go to Uiterbrooks, let's talk about those for a second. Could they have kept Edith Schelling, and would it have been clever to do so?
Don't you think that one was strange? Because I swear him to Astana was announced early in the year. It wasn't like, September. It was early, and I was like, Edith Schelling, because Astana's not exactly been like the, where everyone wants to go to go perform. Win the tour. Like, they didn't pay rise for a bit. Not exactly been performing well if you look at the table. So
but,
that was strange to me. But I did hear they offered some riders some money.
Okay. Like, and they do love a Dutchman every now and then. Lars Boom,
oh, really?
Liebe Westra.
Westra.
And now
yeah.
Edith Schelling. So they've got a history with Dutch people in their past. So maybe they just like having a Dutch rider in.
But if you're Schelling, like, and he, don't you think they always underrated him a little bit? Like, I remember, I remember. Catalunya stage one, I think Conrad crashed, and like Conrad's never won a sprint, right? He's 32 years old. I don't think he's ever won a sprint. He's won one road professional, what road race was that Tour de France stage. Yeah. And he gets a lot of opportunities, this guy. Like, he gets to go for his own race a lot. Case in point was, stage one of Catalunya, they were supposed to go for him. It was the uphill kicker.
Yeah.
And Schelling's got a better sprint than Conrad.
Yes.
It's undeniable. And he only got to go for his own race, came third there behind Remco and Roglic, who were killer on that sort of finish, because Conrad crashed. And then he ended up winning a Catalunya stage maybe a month later. So maybe they weren't kind of preferencing him where he thought maybe, and in that case, justifiably, oh, hold on, why am I riding for Conrad in this situation? And Astana said, hey, you want to lead every Ardennes race? Because I heard they offered Healy a contract. So maybe they're saying to Schelling, you get to lead Amstel, you're Dutch, you get to lead Brabantse Pale, you get to go for the stage in any of those Spanish mixed races, beat Aaron Barou anytime you like. Maybe it's that, Benji.
Yeah, that's possible. That's very possible. But I also feel like I still wouldn't have gone for Astana if I was Schelling. I think there would have been better options for him towards the end of the season, I would expect. Just because it's a rider that in the past has performed, but feels like there's still potential to the upwards trajectory. And Fabro's also an interesting one. He's had really good moments in his past. Remember that Tirreno stage to Prato di Tivo? Prato di Tivo, whatever. I always say it wrong. He got like fourth or fifth or something, I recall correctly.
Seventh,
the one that Pogacar won. Seventh, close enough. Fourth and seventh.
I'll let him go.
I would probably
what's he
on his
what's
recent
he doing
results
for you?
Too. He's a domestique, but it's kind of like he stagnated in the same way that Dunbar stagnated at Ineos, you know, where he had some performances at world tour level on that Prato di Tivo climb, and then he was doing Hungary-esque kind of stage, or was it that Romanian stage race? I don't remember what it's called. Sibiu Tour. For example, on that hill towards the end of that race, also those kind of races, he was competitive in necessarily for GC, I would expect, but that's kind of where it stopped. He did domestique well in certain races, but it's not irreplaceable, is how I would say it. And Matthew Walls, I think, is replaceable. Goretzky, I don't remember seeing at any point in 2023.
Yeah, I think he's just, I don't know, he was supposed to go to B&B and then they collapsed. Walls is an interesting, he's had a lot of crashes, I think, a lot of bad luck. Like, if you look at his season, he had 4 months out, but maybe with sickness, from Hungary to Tour of Britain, only 33 race days. His Neopro season was his best, came in with two pro wins out the gate, Norway and Piemonte, but he wasn't able to continue it. I'm glad he's going to Groupama. I think that's a good spot for him, actually. Yep. He'll have a good program there, so hopefully he can kick things back off there. But I think it also makes sense. If I was him, Groupama has a nicer program, I think. So, none of those guys are irreplaceable. And certainly the first three you mentioned maybe even add up to Roglic, or not nearly, but there'd be some way to it. And then there's also Kjaan Oosterbroeck. Finally, the agreement was reached between the two teams and the rider for him to go to Visma Lisa bike. So he's out the door. We've already spoken at length about it. I guess what we haven't spoken about, Benji, was or is could Bora Hansgrohe, like, that's the one. Like, if he goes to Visma Lisa Bike and wins the Tour or podiums, even podiums the Giro or something, like, could they have done anything differently to keep him?
Well, it depends. Like, is this story about the bullying true or not? Are we just going to ignore it because the teams have reached an agreement? Or because nobody's spoken about it ever since the teams got an agreement?
Yeah.
Like, can we, like, bring that up for a second? Bora, did you do anything wrong or not? Or Keon wants to keep it aside because he doesn't want to make a soap opera of it, but someone leaked it. I don't think it's Keon. I don't think it's Bora. So...
Well, I thought it was, again, like, if someone makes a... Say, let's think about it, right? Say someone signs a four-year contract, sponsors sign onto the team.
Yeah.
And then a staff member or someone else makes a WhatsApp group for 2 weeks about a rider. Can they rip up a four-year contract on the basis of that? But that's not the conversation we're having, right? It's like, that aside, because if that's the litmus test, if it's just that, then, oh, man. Sponsors are in a precarious position. Contracts are in a precarious position. But it's still, that can constitute bullying, but we don't know. And as you said, it's like kind of, now no one wants to really speak about it. Like, I did think some of the responses were strange when they were like even that Adag interview when he's like, oh, well, you know, sometimes it does rub older riders up the wrong way, you know, when a young rider is obsessed with performance. I was like, well, what do you mean by that? Like,
I heard a similar thing from Kelderman on the Rode Lantaarn the other day, where he said it was sad to read, but he saw a very motivated guy who wants to get to the top as fast as possible. He's ambitious and so forth. But he also mentioned that I don't remember the exact quote, so I won't misquote him. So I'll just skip what I was going to say.
But then the flip side is, and we were saying this, I was saying this, like, I thought their program in general, like, from a outside perspective, their handling of him was perfect. He had 1% of the pressure Remco's had on him in his Neopro contract, maybe less than 1%.
Mate, they rejected an RCP interview 3 years ago.
For Kian?
Yeah. Because he had to study, why? Which is a good reason, to be fair, but...
I mean, he must have been like 17. he got to do L'Avenir, which he won. He got to then start the Vuelta, zero pressure, got a top 10, really good start. Got to do other stage races like Tour de Romandie, again, no pressure. Bear in mind, this is like his 1.5 years into his Neo Pro contract, because really he started after the Tour de L'Avenir. So I thought from that perspective, the slowly, slowly approach, and he was getting good results and performing. I thought that was all a really good job. But
Keon has a lot to thank to Bora too.
Yeah. But ultimately we don't know. We don't know. Oh, well, we weren't there in
the Anti-Keon every time. Group.
Yeah. Did it exist?
I must have known. Nobody's gonna make that up, eh?
So it's to be a strange thing to make up.
And the fact that nobody's like going out there and saying that it didn't exist. Also,
no one said that group didn't exist. No one, you notice that. No one said it didn't exist. It's like, no, we supported him. We supported him on the road.
Exactly. Anyway, bullying stories aside, because I don't like that topic in this sport. I hope that goes away, bullying, but go ahead.
But from their perspective, like maybe... They were like, we actually have a pretty standard, normal professional environment. He Maybe. Didn't fit in with it. And there's nothing they could have done. Then there's nothing we could have done unless we change our whole structure to accommodate this one person. There's nothing we could have done to keep him. So, no, like,
Maybe
that's
they think,
it. Like, we can't.
Maybe they think we are equal to everybody. We've got a bullying group against every rider in our team, not just Keon. So, that seems fair.
I don't know, but I think it's hard to really draw firm conclusions without actually knowing exactly what happened. But that's just something to bear in mind, that they will be, if he's a flop at Visma, everyone will say, oh, well, bad apple. And Bora Hansgrohe did, you know, and if he does well at Visma, Yeah, people say, oh, well, what, how could they have let that talent go or not made him the king? And it's like, well, actually, it was a bit more complicated than that.
The one thing that stuck badly to me was, I think, Michel Wout, Belgian commentator. You always got to take what he says with a grain of salt, of course. But he did mention that one of the staff members, I think one of the scouts at Bora, was like saying that, oh, he was a bad apple, Keon, and that Jumbo will realize that soon enough. But how bad can an apple be if you win Avenir so young, and if you are one of the best performing youngsters on their first Grand Tour behind Pogacar and so forth? Like, as in Pogacar, our first Grand Tour was great as well, obviously. The Vuelta, if I recall correctly, podium.
Yeah.
But Keon already stepping up to top 10 in his first Grand Tour. How bad of an apple can you be? Even when it comes to personality, you got to be motivated. If you're a dick or not behind the scenes, that, hey, as long as the team can handle that, you should be able to perform still, eh?
Yeah, but it's okay to be a dick if you're the best. That's life. Relatively. It's not a... No, it is. Well, people will put up... If you go do the business, people will put up with a lot. But if...
I agree, but...
If you're coming eighth...
Being a dick.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying... in life, if you are the best and you win, people will accommodate a lot more if you're coming eighth in the Vuelta. There's less room, I think. So... What was my point? Oh yeah, but that scout said he can't climb and can't improve his climbing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
They should maybe fire that guy.
How bad of a talent can it be if your scouting department that you're a part of scouted him?
Yeah, it was also worth just saying stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know if the guy wasn't directly quoted. Anyway, that was a big soap opera during the off season. It certainly kept us going at the start of December. But we'll see how it goes. But again, they got Roglic in. And right now, if you compare the victories in 23 of Roglic and Erzsebruks, there's only one clear winner. That's Primoz Roglic. The best rider to change teams since when, Benji?
Ooh. Since Sagan to Total?
Sagan to Bora.
Well, it depends on... whether you consider their entire palmarès.
No. When if they're actually not watched. So like Luke just put in the chat Froome. I don't mean no. Not Froome. Like someone who's good.
Richie Port-to-Trek?
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
But I think this is the best I think this is the best rider to transfer since Sagan to Bora in 2016.
Where did Contador end his career? Trek.
Yeah, but he won the Giro, then was kind of meh.
Yeah.
So it's a big signing. It's like a this is not a every annual signing. This is not even a once every 2 years. This is a big signing, and they got Primoz Roglic in as well as a host of other riders. The Slovenian, who obviously won the Giro, podium the Vuelta, and won a whole host of other races. Is this? I think it's a coup for them. Like they had to do it, right? If you, they said they got the money, they saved it up. If you were them, you got to pull the trigger.
I think so as well. And it's also, we've seen over the last few years that they've been trying to like assess a group of podium Avengers for Grand Tours, as in riders that could potentially podium a Grand Tour. But there was no one really in there that shown to me as that one can win the Tour de France. They won the Giro with Hindley, but I didn't see Hindley as suddenly winning the Tour de France necessarily as a follow-up of that. So that wasn't... That wasn't envisioned yet. So they need to find a rider that can do that, winning the Tour de France, because that was the next step. So Roglic being on the market, and they're visibly trying to get that rider, and you have the money like you say, then I think you need to shoot at it. And they shot at it, and yes, is it risky? Yes, he's not 21 anymore. He will go downwards in form over the next couple of years, but he still has the potential to fight for a Grand Tour victory, and potentially for the Tour de France victory if everything goes right, but everything has to go right sometimes for GC. He's a good rider with a solid TT, a good TT, I would say. Climbing, he's good. Does he win with minutes? No, because he doesn't necessarily drop people by minutes. He's a finisher, but that's also a beautiful skill in my opinion. It's also makes the races a lot more entertaining. If the gap is 10 seconds versus a minute, I'm okay with it. But I would also say outside of that,
the Giro was terrible.
That's true. But that's also
You know that Kurt Angle meme that's on TikTok at the moment? Have you seen the video of Kurt Angle? He's just staring at people.
Who the fuck is Kurt Angle?
Brother.
Wait, who the fuck is Kurt Angle?
He's a WWE wrestler.
Never heard of him die in my life.
I mean, you don't know Kurt Angle? He's an Olympic wrestler.
The only WWE person I know is Logan Paul at this point.
Dude, the Angle Slam. I'll put you in an ankle lock next time I see you, Benji. Anyway, how I look at people when they say the Giro's actually, if you really think about it, the Giro is the best race. It's the best Grand Tour. It's the most beautiful and it's got the most exciting. It's like, no, you're outing yourself. You don't watch the race. Like, I'll look at that person whilst Davide Bias is like, him and Karol Vacek are doing 3 watts per kilo to win a stage. And you tell me versus like, Hindley against fucking Pogacar and Vingegaard in the Marie Blanc. Anyway, why'd I go there? So I just had COVID, so I'm all over the place today. I'll just say the Giro wasn't that exciting. And Roglic, yeah, they had to do it.
Which also changes the role of other riders in the team necessarily. As in, Hindley's not the number one GC rider in the team anymore when Roglic joins. So
and maybe like, not even allowed to lead a different Grand Tour. Like maybe he has to be a domestique now in the Tour.
That's going to be serious one. We'll discuss it pretty soon. Before we do that though, quickly, other transfers. Completely forgot about this one, by the way. Daniel Felipe Martinez going to Bora. That was announced so long ago in my head. That's
strange.
And it's also like, Martinez was kind of just not that good in 2023. Like, he had previous years that were much better, where he was fighting for GC in Basque Country, if I recall correctly, won that ahead of Remco,
yeah.
Then he also was a great domestique for Bernal in 2021, but he wanted to climb up from that. The man has potential to top 10 a Grand Tour, to top 5 a Giro, to top 5 a lower competition Vuelta, but he's a domestique in this team, if all these riders join, right?
4-year deal. Oh. I wouldn't have given Danny Martinez a 4-year deal.
Would you have taken a 4-year deal if you're Martinez?
Fuck yeah. You see? It won't be cheap. he's won the Dauphiné. He's top 5 of the Giro. He's won Basque Country not 18 months ago. It won't be cheap. But yeah, man, 4-year deal. As a 1-week racer, I love him. Good TT. Yeah. Good on the easy mountain stages, good punch, good racer. Like if you want to watch someone managing a tricky final stage to win GC, that stage 6 in Basque Country, he was just really like really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
But in Grand Tours, apart from that Giro with Bernal, he's sick half the time. He DNFs. He's not looked good for a lot of the Grand Tours. And then sometimes he does come good for a stage, can win a stage. And maybe that's what they want him for. Maybe he's in the Koos role. Maybe that's... But they signed him before Roglic, bear in mind.
I see him in the Koos role regardless of this, now that the tables have turned. I think they signed him for GC purposes, though, and that he signed for GC purposes on purpose, though. That being said, I think his roles have changed after Roglic joined, because the tables just turn, and he's part of that thing that changed. But also, I think if Roglic doesn't join, Welsford goes to the Tour de France to sprint.
Do you reckon? Yeah, probably.
So Welsford, an incoming transfer, a sprinter that came from DSM, which Bennett is leaving, Van Poppel staying behind, which is a great lead out still, in my opinion. I know you feel like he's gone down a little, but I think it's still there. I think it also depends on the sprinter and the chemistry between the two, so it's curious of how that's going to work with Welsford, but Welsford is a sprinter in 2023, which, in my opinion, is still very underrated, where San Juan and also in Renui Tour, the sprints that he did there, in the Renui Tour, he beat Merlier head-on and so forth. So he's a really fast, pure sprinter. Problem is, he's not the most versatile, to be certain, and his positioning is an issue, but that's also partially because DSM was goddamn terrible at positioning him well. So if Van Poppel can help that, if Mullen, who stays, can help that, then I think Welsford can make a real step forward and can be competitive in the Giro, because that's, I think, where he's likely to be going then if he doesn't go to the Tour de France necessarily. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he has to go to the Giro. If he's not, like, otherwise, you can't send him to the Vuelta. Javier Guillen made it illegal, so unless you're not going to send him to a Grand Tour, he has to do the Giro.
First 7 days, all sprinters, Vuelta. I have to.
Even some of them are tricky. But yeah, I would send Wells, yeah, if you can do the first week. But yeah, I thought that was a good signing at the time. I still think it is, and they'll be saving a bit of money in that respect. Others are young Austrian Alexander Hajek from Tyrol KTM. He's 20 years old. Looks like a solid sort of all-rounder, more of a puncher type rider. So nice 3-year deal there. We'll see how he'll develop. They have a good program for those sort of riders at Bora. Like, I assume he'll do Sibiu Tour or Settimana or those sort of races. So probably won't see him in the Grand Tours, but just another German speaker coming in. Masiuk, the Bahrain Victorious rider, the Pole who took everybody down in the Tour of Flanders. He actually is a decent rider.
We remember Tiberi because of the cat killing, but Matichuk did that bad that we need to name him that every single time we see.
Well, it's the most like notable thing he's done.
Yeah, that's true.
I do. He was, like, the punishment was a little bit over the top, I think, or inconsistent rather. Maybe it was correct, but inconsistent. Yeah. He's actually a decent rouleur, though. So for someone probably not on very much money, I think he's actually a nice signing. Although, you know, not gonna change your team too much. Ruja Adria is from Equipo Kern Pharma. He's 25. He's a Catalan sort of puncher type rider. Good in he's been good in the 2.1 or the 1.1 classics without winning anything except a Rudoxetine. I mean, Flesh is he's 12th in Flesh. That's probably his best big boy result. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, like, I swear we've been talking about this man for ages. And he was a combination between Hill Classics and also Classics, because I swear he was doing stupid tactical shit in Paris Tour 2 years ago or something. I swear we were hosting him in something related to Paris Tour at some point. But this man's talented. He's already 25, so that's not the youngest, but I think there's still a move upwards possible. So a bit of a classic slash punchy situation going on. I'd love to see what he does in an Amstel Gold Race, personally.
It's just strange he's going to Bora, right?
Send him to Brabantsappel. I think he can top five.
Like, when I heard, I agree. But if you can top five Grand GP Indurain, like, you should have the physiological capability of top 10 at least for Brabants. So, because Indurain is actually a hard race. But isn't it strange he's going to Bora?
Yep. We don't have many Spaniards going to Bora. Is that weird?
You know, it must be. Like, did Pachi Villa, because Pachi Villa's gone from Movistar now back to Bora, but then did he say sign Adria before? But no, but someone else has been signing these Hispanophones. Someone signed Aguita, someone signed Martinez.
Yeah. Same agent or not?
I don't know who Adria's agent.
I don't know either, actually.
But yeah, it's just I thought he'd go to Movistar for sure. But anyway, I've got no problem with it. It's just curious. Sobrero from Jake Olula. Not sure if you mentioned him. He won the Giro TT, a Giro TT in 22. A little bit anonymous in 23. Apart from that Vuelta break, he got beaten by his now teammate Kamna and came second on that stage. Curious rider who's like quite slender, good TT, but actually can't really climb, which always like doesn't add up too much for me, so maybe he'll kick on. I don't think it's the biggest loss for Jayco, actually. And Herzog from Hagen Spurman Action, hugely hyped junior. He in fact won the World Championships junior road race in Wollongong in 2022 ahead of Morgado, who's joining UAE, and won a hell of a lot else in that year, including Course Le Pays Junior, which is what Nordhagen. He beat Nordhagen and Morgado in that race in 22 as a second year junior. Is U23 season not the best? In fact, not sure if he's injured because he didn't do Lavenir, didn't do Baby Giro, didn't do Pei Junior, Pei Jasinski, didn't do World Champs. So he must have been, something must have been wrong.
Yeah, there's something off with the season. I don't know the exact reason either, but it just wasn't on the level of the junior years. And maybe it's just transition that didn't happen as well as he expected. The Herzog transition from junior and U23, and then you're wondering, oh, why did Borwa sign him then? But maybe they already signed him in the junior years. As in, maybe they already signed a contract saying, you will come to Borwa, True, Egan's, Berman's, and that way it was already written in stone. So that's the gamble teams make when they make long-term agreements like that. And Borwa wants to push forward on Herzog, and I kind of want to see where it goes. I've got the answer now. Go ahead.
I said, so he posted on Instagram that the 2023 season comes to the end, not the season he hoped for. Till the end of May, things were going okay. Then he got sick several times and wasn't able to train longer than 2 weeks consistently. Some weeks ago, we figured out that I had water in my heart, which gives a conclusion why the second part of the season was so bad. Lucky nothing was damaged. Water's already out again. Time to start my prep. Super motivated for the next year with Borwa. So that explains that then.
Yep. Let's hope he kicks on, and let's hope we see the progression that we expected from him a few years ago.
Yeah.
But overall, when it comes to these transfers, by the way, I do want to push in there. I feel like Welsford should do a combination of the Giro, Renewi Tour and so forth, but also some of those Bauhaus World Tour races. I want to see him do Polonia. Just clean up some World Tour races. Add on to the Palmares of Borwa for a bit, because I feel like they should be having more than 7 World Tour wins if they send them to the right schedule.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe that was what they were hoping out of Bennett, but it wasn't able to... It didn't happen for whatever reason. I think he thought he was doing the Welter or the Tour. I can't remember. Certainly with Roglic and Martinez and Igita and Vlasov, they'd just be hoping for more than 10 World Tour wins next year. You can combine, Benji, the Renewi Tour and the first week of the Welter next year. Can be combined. Okay. But I'm not sure.
And Polonia?
Roglic. Polonia's earlier, yeah. That's the week before the Vuelta.
It's going to be a busy period for Welsford. At the end of the year, sorry, Welsford. Sam, going to Guangzhou.
No, Roglic will do the Vuelta. Welsford won't be allowed to go. So how would you rate the signings, Benji? I would give it it's good. I think it's good. Like, they got in a lot of good riders.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, value for upside, apart from Welsford, I'm not so sure. But then, like, German world champion in juniors, Herzog, like, you have to sign him, and they did that, so that's good. But
I think it's Sobrero an okay transfer season.
Yeah, I think it's okay. Sobrero Martinez, I personally wouldn't, but Roglic, I think you got to give him credit for having the money ready to go and just make, obviously, pitching him and beating other teams that would have been pitching.
I still think that Martinez will be a better domestique than Conrad was. I still think Sobrero will be a better domestique than a Faber was, for example. Will that necessarily be the same type of domestique? Not necessarily, even though Sobrero can climb better than you would think from a flat time trialist initially in his early days. So, I don't know. I'm relatively positive about the transfer season, especially with Roglic coming in, with Welsford coming in. Yes, yeah. They're replacing Kian Uytterbroek's a potential future great GC talent with a rider that is going to need to benefit in the next 2 years from his transfer, because Roglic is coming towards the end of his career in a few years. That's undoubtedly true. So it's that choice they made. They want instant success versus future success, which is they need to do that. Well, Visma can afford to go for the future success with Vingegaard already in the team. So it's a logical trade in my head.
Yeah.
It's still a big loss. Ideally, they would have kept both, but hey, there was nothing to do about it anymore after what potentially happened. So 2024 schedule, we spoke about it a tiny bit already.
Just on points, Roglic 5,600 in 23.
Yeah.
Bora's biggest point scorer, Vlasov, 2,000.
Yeah.
So he's got 2.5 times the point. Like, that is...
But they're bringing in the finisher. Points.
Yeah, that'll be tough. That's a lot of points.
That's all one of the highest ones I reckon that he had in the last couple of years.
That'll be tough, but still, you take four.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Onto their schedule, Benji.
Classics. Let's be honest about it. Their classics team isn't really that great. They've got some opportunities, right, as that could try and anticipate in the real classics like E3s, the RVVs, and so forth. Like, Holler like he did in the past. I want to see what Adria does surrounding that Koch, Herzog, Maciejczuk. But I reckon their classics focus should be the Kuhne, Brussels, Kuhnes, Gent, Wevelgem, Brugge de Pannes with Jordi Meus.
I agree. I think Adag said that as well. Like, the flatter classics, they can really try to do something. I really want to see Meus. I want to see Welser too. Like, Welser's good in the shit. If it's flat, In bad weather, wind, rain, Welser is actually really good. And in the heat too, in that sort of conditions, like in Saudi. Shelter Price is good. So he made like group one as a Neo Pro.
That was a really good race with Kasper van Uden as well in the same.
That was
team.
A great race. That was a really good race. But
who won that? Was it Christoph? Was that a different edition?
I think Christoph hit them with it.
Possible.
I think everyone was attacking. There was no control. Quickstep had like three weak riders in the group and it was chaos. Yeah. And Van Uden was super strong. But they're the race they should target. Even a race like E3 and Gent Wevelgem seem realistically out of their reach because they don't even have someone making group two anymore. Except Van Poppel. I think Van Poppel's their... And is it Van Poppel their best classics rider?
I wouldn't say he's that great in classics.
He came ninth in Gent Wevelgem.
Yeah, but Gent Wevelgem is also not necessarily the craziest race to top 10 in if it's a regular sprint.
Yeah, but who's better than
him? Top 5 Gent Wevelgem.
Who's better than him?
Jonas Koch in Gent Wevelgem?
You know who is, actually? And his schedule, now that I'm looking at it, is a madness. Bob Jungels.
True.
The answer's is right here. They have Bob Jungels. He didn't do a one-day race until San Sebastian.
Yep.
On a team that has one of the worst World Tour Classic squads. Why is he doing Tour de Romandie? He did 74 race days or Valenciana. Valenciana's fine, but I'm like, he, in the modern cycling, if a guy won Kuhne-Brussels-Kuhne and Liège, my mind thinks he can at least participate in E3 for a top 15. Mate, in the way they race it now.
Well, he won Kuhne back in the day. Bob Jungels 2019 is what Cavagna thinks he is.
It's what Movistar hope he is, yeah.
Yes. But anyway, I agree with you. Jungels needs to be in the classics, like you mentioned. But it's like, it's a combination. He's won LBL as well in the past, so he might feel
fifth
like he fits
E3.
More there.
Yeah. Third in Dwars Tour.
Those were great races. Jungels was really good. And I reckon they should try that again. I would love to see that again. But Jungels was always stuck in this like limbo between all the disciplines to the point that I think he sometimes chose the wrong one. And he was a good domestique
though
last year.
They Mauro Schmidted him.
Facts.
They did. They Mauro Schmidted him.
He was a great domestique. I will add that though. It's not like he was useless in 2023.
No, I love Bob Jungels. He's like, those sort of riders are my favorite type of riders. Like Kwiatkowski, different rider of course, but like these Swiss Army knives. they're my favorite, but he has to do the classics to me. But Herzog should go if he's healthy. because that's the sort of profile rider. Hopefully he can do something. Like, hopefully he's just the god, and he's all of a sudden, you know, even top 10s in some of the lead up to the Tour of Flanders races would be fantastic, I think. It's like a process. So I would send Herzog with those guys you mentioned and try and hope for the best.
I also think that Mayos needs a better schedule. As in,
I agree.
After Tour de France, he went to Renewi Tour, then Tour of Luxembourg, Sparkasse Mönchengladbach Giro, Paris-Bourges and Paris Tour. I would send this guy to a shitload of Belgian chat GPT generated races after the tour.
Yeah. Yes, dude. Do they do them?
They have done some in the middle of the season. For example,
I know the table's not everything, but like, it is good to like not be 10th.
Yep.
And if you can send, also, riders like Mayus, they like, riders like winning races. So, yeah. Especially at home.
Do a Herben Thijssen.
Yeah. Okay, so that's probably the weakest part of their roster. Now, the part that I think is really looking strong, particularly if Poggi doesn't do all the Ardennes, is the Hill Classics, based on Roglic in the past and 2022 Bora. And that is, they sort of got four leaders. Roglic, Vlasov, Martinez, Igita. How will they work together? I'm not entirely sure. The best sprint in that group is... They all got a decent sprint on them, actually.
Yeah.
And we've seen them sprint against each other. But that's a good squad. That is a good... I mean, for Flesch, you just go for Roglic. But for Amstel and Liège, I think you got numbers you can play there.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think Roglic for LBL is still a good... It's still a good bet, yeah. But I agree that you can use Vlasov and Martinez to respond to people that try and benefit early and try and benefit from it. The question is, like, if Remco goes, please follow with Roglic or something, or try and figure out a way to catch him that doesn't require you to send Vlasov with him and then Vlasov getting dropped by Remco later on in the race. So that's like the one thing that I also look out for. But I agree that numbers-wise, they should be looking good for the Hill Classics. Roglic is a good bet for those races. I would love to see. Is Pogacar doing Flesch this year? I don't think he is. Shit, I would have loved to see Roglic versus Pogacar.
He can't win that race.
What?
Flesch.
Pogacar?
Yeah.
He just did.
I know. So I was always like, he can't win that.
I remember the days.
Yeah, I was like, fuck.
But, I agree that the Hill Classics are definitely, and also Italian Classics, similar fashion, similar squad.
Oh, this team should clean Italian Classics.
Emilia, Lombardia. This is the moment where Roglic can step up to second or first in Lombardia with this team. Not that Jumbo was necessarily a bad team to be in for Lombardia either, but I feel like Sir Vlasov Martinez supporting you, I take it. Grand Tours now?
Grand Tours Giro. We said Welsford has to go, so he goes to the lead out of Van Poppel and Mullen. And then I don't really know what they'll do with Kamna. If Kamna wants to be a domestique, he can go to the Tour.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to, I have a feeling Kamna will do the Giro and maybe go for GC again for his own result, because the time trial is good for him. Really good time trial. The mountain stages are not brutal. They're ones he can kind of hang on, a lot of them. I think it's a good Giro parkour for Kamna.
I'd send Sobrero with him. So we're at five riders then, right? Welsford, Van Poppel, Mullen, Sobrero, and Kamna. Outside of that, I don't really care who they send. Because, like, what do you think Hindi will do? Do you think he'll do Tour de France Vuelta then?
He'll have to do the Tour,
Yeah. But the problem is Tour de France Vuelta means that he's going to be combined with Roglic every single time.
Well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, I'm afraid.
True.
But yeah, they need a... He's unfortunately too good to send to the Giro. Whereas Kamna, like, they're like, oh, well, yeah, you gotta do GC there. So yeah, that's the Giro squad. I think they can actually get some nice results out of that race. Top 10 in GC and a couple of stage wins, I think, would be the minimum goal.
Send him to the Giro to avoid having him as domestique for the Tour de France.
Yeah, I think they will. Tour de France, Roglic will be leading the team in GC. I presume they'll send Hindley because I think he'll be in the Kuss role or maybe even a co-leader. That might be the smarter thing to do. And then they need some rouleurs. So obviously, I think Jungels is a no-brainer as a stage racer. Haller, I think you have to send because this team is thin on rouleurs. Like
Dens.
Yeah, Dens is solid. Dens is solid. So Dens, Haller, and but can they climb? Dens can climb.
Jungels can do both.
But that's the problem with someone like Mullen, right? Like Mullen? Because you might want to bring Mullen to keep Roglic safe on the sprint stages. Because that's if you want to win the Tour, half the thing with Roglic is not having him crash. So like it's all well and good to talk about, all right, we need Hindley to do the Kuss roll to set him up for this stage finish, but fuck, if he's crashed, it's not very helpful. You got to think also about the rouleurs. And I don't think Nico Dens can do that role. Pollitt can, gone. Haller, yeah, but not on his own. Yeah. That's where I look at someone.
They'll probably be better off than we think, I think.
Oh, I disagree. I think...
The danger of Roglic crashing is... real?
No. I'm just saying it's something you got to focus on, and you got to try hold front position to 3Ks. And the guys that I see that can do that being Mullen for sure is very good at that, and Mayus, they can't climb a lick, like they can't climb. So can they get round the course the 3 weeks? Can they help in a stage start that's not pancake flat? But there's a lot of stages that are traditional sprint stages too, so it's all a trade-off. Maybe does Danny Van Poppel climb okay or nah?
He climbs hills, yes.
Like Laporte, climbing.
Laporte was really good when it comes to his climbing last year at the Tour as well, though. But I'd say BTEC Laporte.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe those guys focus on it, and maybe they're like, if you get told in December, hey, you need to be like, 2-3 kilos lighter than normal for the Tour so you can get around. I mean, that's 6 months, 7 months. You can probably do that. And someone like Mullen probably super motivated. So maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. Just something to bear in mind because that is something important. Do you think they'll be on the level? How do you think they'll be... the third strongest team at the race?
Ooh. As in?
UAE, Visma, and then...
UAE and Visma. We've obviously got Visma and UAE. I wonder how Trek will fit in. Gegenhardt and Roglic is still a difference, eh? Like, Roglic is still on paper a better GC rider than Gegenhardt, but Gegenhardt at the Giro was really good. So, if Gegenhardt can show up with the level he had at the Giro at the start, and you've got Pedersen and Silvestre
Pedersen's a
him,
fucking animal. Pedersen is like...
Mate, the stuff
such
he did for
a
Port?
Good domestique. The stuff he did for Schelmoser.
Yeah, true. Like Ciccone, I don't remember where he's... I think he's going to the Giro, if I recall correctly. But
yeah, he's doing the Giro.
Trek also has a team where I'm like, they could also potentially compete for that third spot. And then I look at Ineos, and they're also not too far off. So I'm looking at these five teams. So they could compete for third spot. I think they're probably... more likely to be third best GC team, in my opinion, than Lidl and Ineos, but it's still fragile, dependent on Primoz's crash rate, for example, because he's not exactly the most crash-avoiding rider, just like Remco is these days, kind of.
Yeah, Remco, same thing. I think Bora will definitely have have a better mountain domestique than either of Ineos or Trek in Hindley.
Question.
But those, they might have better rulers.
Kuss, Adam Yates, Hindley. As your super domestique. Can Hindley compete with Adam Yates in 23 as super domestique?
Oh, with Yates?
2024.
No, Yates is like the fucking third best rider in the world. Yates is better than Roglic, dude.
Bruh. Oh god.
Sort of joking.
Sort of.
on long climbs and a hard stage. Adam Yates is...
Sorry.
He is fucking good.
On Jabella feet, he's the best in the world.
No, I'd take Roglic on her feet.
Get the fuck out of here.
Look, on Loport, Roglic, yeah, on Angleroo and Loport, Roglic was mad.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
On a unit puerto like that, though. I would take Roglic against anyone on her feet. Anyone.
Roglic at Bora, will that be different than Roglic at Visma?
Oh, I don't know about that, but like right now, like on that finish, I'll take him on against anyone on that finish. But what was the question? Oh, can Hindley do that job? Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, he was on track to come fifth at the Tour, let's say. Like, you put that guy in a domestique role, of course, yeah.
He'll be happy to do it.
He's also, I reckon he can do a nice sprint lead out too, uphill sprint lead out for Roglic. Like, Hindley got a decent sprint on him.
Yeah, we saw that. Well, we can say we saw that, but that was also against Romain Bardet and so forth at the Giro.
No, he does have like for a slant. Like I'm not saying he's Danny Van Poppel, but he can do it. He can do
it's
the
like a
for
sprint
the
between
finish
between 2016 Fabio Aru and Romain Bardet. We're judging here.
Yeah, they don't got me. Yeah, but I think he's the best part of the support. Hindley, if indeed that's his role, they may be co-leaders. We're just. I don't know.
Martinez is also good, eh?
Which one do you get?
Domestique Martinez will show up. GC
sure?
Martinez, I have less confidence in.
He didn't show up Martinez, in the 2022 Tour de France.
Ah, he'll come back. He'll
return. Okay. No, listen,
you're nitpicking that one Grand Tour.
Most of the Grand Tours have not been good, except a couple of stages here or there. But certainly those two for a sprint, those two are very, very good on form. Yeah. But yeah, I can't wait to see. It's good to have this discussion. Who's going to challenge the two Visma and UAE? And I hope Bora are right there and breakaway. Like imagine breakaway formation with now a third team jumping with trying to get Hindley in, but also now Hindley's teammates Roglic sitting in the group. On the Marie Blanc stage. Like, imagine that situation. Like, that's got to be good for fans in the Tour next year. So hopefully they are firing. Vuelta, I think, yeah, Roglic and whoever else, don't really mind, to go. I think they... You see that Vuelta parkour, Benji? It's a good parkour for Roglic.
Yeah, I think you need to send Higuita somewhere.
Do you?
Just stay in Colombia the entire year. Is that what your plan is for Higuita?
Well, he was at this Vuelta.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's kind of like, who's that? Was an Ecuadorian guy that was invisible in the Giro 3 years ago? What's his name?
Oh, who was good in Tour of the Alps? I know the one you mean. Yeah, Cepeda. Everyone put him in their Velo Games team because he was cooking in Tour of the Alps.
And then he disappeared.
Yeah, and then JV got him. Did he?
Okay.
Was a different Cepeda. But Martinez, no, on
Hindley,
that point, on that point.
Vuelta too.
When you go to a Grand Tour with the pre-race favorite or pre-race top three favorite,
yeah.
All of a sudden, you can't just have someone like Higuita there filling up numbers and everyone has to do a role. There has to be rulers controlling breakaways. There has to be rulers keeping guys safe in hectic situations. There's got to be medium mountain guys. There's got to be a guy doing sprint lead outs for all the intermediates. There's got to be guys keeping him safe to 3 kilometers to go. There's got to be guys doing, getting in bottles on medium mountain stages and mountain stages. You need all seven support riders for a proper top tier favorite.
You'd almost need to send them to the Giro or something. To have him have a Grand Tour this year. Because that's the Grand Tour where they don't necessarily have that, unless Hindley surprisingly does the Giro, which right now I wouldn't expect. I'd expect him to do.
I think Vlasov will do it. Now that I think about it. Should be Vlasov Kamna at the
sense.
Giro.
Makes
with
sense.
The TT. Yeah.
Yeah, we completely skipped Vlasov, didn't we?
Okay, that's what are the realistic aims of Bora? Like if you're setting their goals, I think it's gotta be Benji. One is win the Tour de France. You got a 3-year contract with Roglic.
That's the goal you signed for.
It's attainable. It's realistic. It's realistic. It's a smart goal.
I don't see it as realistic. but I see it as a goal they should have regardless of it being realistic. That makes sense?
Yeah.
As in, you signed him for that, now try and make it happen.
Yeah.
And something can always happen to Vingegaard or Pogacar.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not impossible in that sense.
The second one's win the Vuelta. I think it's win a Grand Tour. And honestly, if you send Vlasov and, I mean, I know Poggy's there, but podium the Giro probably.
Yeah, it's not a, it's not an, a,
it's a good route for Vlasov too. Yeah.
The Livigno climb, I'm kind of like, yeah, that's a bit long for Vlasov.
Yeah, it won't happen. It won't happen.
try and win a hill climb. Try and win a monument.
Yeah, Lombardia or Liège, yeah.
Exactly. And in addition, I would also add to the point, you've got Roglic, you've got Welsford coming to the team. Win more.
Yeah. I think win...
Be more consistent throughout the year.
15 World Tour races minimum. I'd probably set the goal at 20.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't say with those guys and Martinez and Iguita having better seasons... I think realistically, like to say, hey, we really knocked out of the park this year. You want to have 20 World Tour wins, which is still, it's half of Jumbo this year. So like, that's realistic too with those riders they got in. Like Roglic won like 13 World Tour races this year, 15 on himself. So
yeah.
I think 20 minimum. And then finished at least, probably finished third in the ranking. And then on more of the sprint train, we've spoken a lot about Roglic, but I think have the best sprinter and lead out combo in the world.
I think that's a difficult one against Alpecin, but I think you need to try.
True, yeah. I think they could do it though. I think Philipsen is the best, but I don't think without Van der Poel particularly all year.
Yeah.
I think Boris can be the best. And so I want to see that really click.
And then when it comes to youngsters, you always expect the youngsters to make a step forward, like the Herzogs of the world and so forth. But
yeah.
I would also, why Lipovic. Does Bora choose to work with Tirol and with Hagens Bermans instead of having their junior team and building a U23 team on top of that towards their World Tour team? It's like they have a gap in their pipeline that they have to outsource to other continental teams right now.
Yeah, and there's... But I think they kind of get all the German speakers they want if they anyway. Like they get first dibs on them anyway. Except for Brenner. So that didn't happen.
Because like they did work with Tirol and so forth was because they wanted to fill up that gap. But I don't think it works as well to have an outsourced team do that than having it internally. Because then you have, let's be honest about it. You only select a few riders from your U19 to go through that system. So why don't you have a larger pool of U23 riders to pick from then? That's what I'd like to see this team have a U23 team in the future instead of working with U23 teams in the future.
It's true. Isn't that what AG2R just filled the gap with?
AG2R had a U19 and a U23 team back in the day. But I think one of them fell away. No?
I feel like they just filled that gap recently. I don't know.
In my head, one of their teams folded.
Maybe Sean the Benny? Junior team folded. Yeah, maybe the junior team. Maybe I'm just misremembering. Okay. I think that's all for this. Oh, hot takes, Benji.
Mate, Welter wins. How much do you think?
Oh, let me just check how many Roglic won this year.
Elevator music, tune in.
Well, I can't say 50. He won the 11 World Tour races, so they won 7 this year. And Martinez and will have a better year, and then Vlasov will probably win one. And I still don't think. And Welsford, how did they win when they were good? You got to go first, Benji. I'm thinking about this too much.
I think Bora is going to make the biggest step in World Tour wins of any team in World Tour right now.
Yeah, and I think so.
So far, when it comes to my World Tour victory picks that I had for all the teams, I feel like I went backwards with Jumbo, Visma because the lack of Roglic and that Keon won't be able to step up to that plate yet. And for the other teams, it's relatively similar, but I've got a bit less will to wins than you, so I'm going to have to bet a bit high on Bora. So I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for 18 will to wins.
Yeah, I'm going 18 as well.
Oh, man, you're cheating. You're That's taking my pick.
Well, because when they had Ackerman, Bennett, and Sagan, they won 22 in 2018. Okay. But they don't have three sprinters. They got
it depends
Neus.
On the schedule.
It does.
Wells for to Bologna. I'm saying it. Wells for to Guangxi. You're going to clean World Tour wins.
Yeah. He might. If Wells wins seven World Tour races, that's a pretty fucking good year.
Yeah.
But like, are you sure Roglic is going to win 10? He's going to do a more competitive schedule next year.
I'll be fine. I don't think he'll win 10. I think Welford is going to win and be the one that steps up. If the schedule is right. And to be honest, I don't expect the schedule to be right.
Yeah. Anyway, 18 is an increase of...
11.
2.5x. So, yeah, it's a big goal. Hot takes, Benji. Who do you think is out of contract for Bora Hansgrohe is a lot of riders, over half the team, I think. Mm-hmm. Bob Jungels, Vlasov, Buchmann, Sharkman, Hindley, Igita, Kemner are the main ones. Who do you think's leaving or staying out of Vlasov, Hindley, Igita, Jungels?
If I'm Hindley, I'm considering leaving because I'm working for Roglic all fucking year.
Yeah.
It kind of bites Hindley in the ass, the coming of Roglic. So it depends on whether he's future-proof at Bora. If they can promise that the second Roglic leaves, he's king again, then he might consider
staying. That's in 2027.
That is in 2020. Well, depends whether Roglic goes backwards or not. So might already be 2026. Yeah. Vlasov, I don't think they'll re-sign. Buchmann either. Nah? I wouldn't re-sign
Buchmann. They'll re-sign Buchmann, I think. He's German.
Depends on the price. I wouldn't sign him for decent money. He's podium to Tour de France, no? Or fourth? No?
Fourth, yeah.
Fourth.
No, which one? We always get Stevie K and him mixed up.
Stevie K podiumed, right?
Did he?
Did he not?
Buchmann fourth.
No Eisbergs in the Tour de France, so.
No.
Not these days. I'd skip.
You'd let him go, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'd re-sign Dens.
Yeah, I would sign. You have to re-sign Dens.
I'd keep Pulitzer.
Pulitzer?
Yeah.
I mean, if Red Bull pay the salary, sure, but...
I watched the Tour of Turkey, man. He was on fire. Did you not watch the Tour of Turkey? Come on, man. It was that huge climb.
I watched it. Yeah, I watched it, but...
Pulitzer was a decent domestique. Zwihoff was better, though. Zwihoff is a re-sign.
Zwihoff's good. No.
Am I mixing them up? Pulitzer.
I think you... Pulitzer, I don't think is very good. Like,
re-sign
I know that
Zwihoff
they,
is what I meant.
Zwihoff's a legit good rider. Like, yes. I think he's legit good.
Kemna stays?
Lipovitz is actually very good. I really like... I think he's one of Luke's favorites. Or is that Engelhardt? Am I mixing the two Germans?
I think you're mixing the two Germans.
Nah, he won Czech Tour. No, he's actually... He's good.
I signed this guy on Pro Cycling Manager 3 years ago, and he fucking sucked. It's very sad.
Nah, Florian Lipovitz is good. They should re-sign him for sure. I'd like to see him on another three-year deal as a sort of... Yeah. See what he can do as a climber. Aliotti, I would let go. Gamper, I'd need to see something. Luis Joe Lewis was a strange one that they signed so young when he clearly wasn't ready. But anyway, we'll see. So there'll be some changes there. Shuckman's also out of contract. But hot takes for this team. I think they win. I was trying to figure out, could they win more World Tour stage races than UAE?
They could, but they won't.
That will be my hot take. That would be my hot take. I think Bora win more World Tour stage races than UAE.
I'll accept that as a hot take, that's for sure.
I don't know how that will happen. let's put it out there. I think they win Lombardia. Yeah. I think they're the best Italian classics. I mean, Poggi and Yates are pretty good. Fuck. I'm overrating them now.
Zwihav wins the Giro stage.
Yeah, I'll take that. They should send the German All-Stars to the Giro.
Yeah. What else can we say?
I reckon they got the Giro shot keeping Roglic safe.
They got to send him to GP Denang again. That was an epic race with Roglic in it.
He was cooking, dude.
He nearly won GP Bonnet.
Yeah, he was fucking good. And even in the cobble stage, in the tour, he was in the front group. He actually wasn't doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
He just got... I don't assume Roglic to hit the gravel and just go... Like, he'll be front group. Like, he's punchy rider.
The issue is not the gravel. The issue is the run into the sprint stages.
Yeah. It's not the gravel. It's the sprint stages, the hectic and the flat and that stuff. So, we'll see. Do you think there'll be a mutiny? Do you think there'll be a mutiny, though?
Nah.
You got no hot takes for them, Benji. All right, that's Bora Hans Grohe's
preview. I said a hot take. Zwihav Giro stage.
Oh, Zwihav, no, he's a fucking good rider. Come on.
Jungles wins Tour of Flanders. Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's actually, finally we're getting some hot takes out of you. Bob Jungles.
Bookland wins Renewy Tour, okay?
No, that's Benji. Let's be serious. It's a serious podcast. Yeah, I reckon Jungles will go classics now, and he'll be their best rider. Okay, that's all from the Bora Hans Grohe preview. Big changes, biggest transfer, I think, of the last 5 years at least. Can't wait to see how it pans out. Definitely good for neutral fans next year. And I can't wait for that Tour de France battle. Hopefully they all get to the start line without issues. Thanks for listening as always. And we'll see you at the Alto Marché Circus Wanty Gobert Materia.
Hey.
Tom De Vrint special when?
Circus is gone.
Are they?
They are. Spoilers.
Okay, well, we're about to discuss what a circus is. Until then, ciao.